Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Good morning. Well, it's so great to be here. I was 17 years old when our family were first ambushed by Jesus. And my mum had gone along to a meeting, a spirit-filled meeting in a Baptist church, knew absolutely nothing about the Holy Ghost. And for the first time, heard someone speaking about how God was moving through them, speaking to them, words of knowledge. You know, the Lord speaking to this guy, telling him to go to 32 Regent Road and turning up, knocking a door. Never been to this house. Someone opening it, saying, "Who are you?" He said, "I don't know. The Lord sent me." And this person saying, well, like breaking down, said, "I was about to end my life." And I cried out to God. I said, "If you're real, do something." And my mum's like, never been in an environment like that. And then there's a time of ministry and people come out the front, people being prayed for. This big guy, 6'4", went down in the power of the Spirit, hit his head on a radiator on his way down, got up praising the Lord. And my mum leant over to her friend who'd taken her and said, "I'm going to go get some fresh air." This was like too much for her. And she leant over to a friend. She got stuck and she literally had an encounter. She felt a burning sensation in the shape of a cross across her shoulders from her head to the bottom. And she was just stuck. She didn't know how. She never said, "I'm going to get some fresh air." And I remember because I was 16, actually. It was just before I was 17. And my mum must have not taken any keys to the house, because I remember knocking the door and me coming down as a 16-year-old to let my own mum in, opening the door and going, "What on earth has happened to you?" Literally, her face was radiant. And she said to me, "I've no idea." That's what she said, "I've no idea." And the next morning she knelt by her bed to say the Lord's Prayer, which was all she knew, and she started speaking in tongues, didn't know what tongues was. And that began a transformation in our family. And I've been ruined for anything but the presence of God since I came to know Jesus. And I just want to say, you know, it's the first time I've actually been inside this building, although I've been aware of the message for 20-odd years and the incredible work that you guys do. And it's been such a privilege over the last 12 months to get a bit closer and begin a genuine partnership. And so grateful for Carl and Tom and Judith and Lucy and others that have put themselves into the Midlands, and I believe we've become friends, and we're really excited about what lies ahead. And so great for me to be here. This is Luke. He has just got back from a year and a half of a ministry internship out in Singapore, a big church that we've got a partnership with. And he's a phenomenal young guy with the call of God heavily on his life. And he's going to be heading up our youth ministry, well, with immediate effect. So really, really great. And we're thrilled to be here. I'm married to Esther. We've got three kids. I met Esther. I was a student worker and she was a student. I don't think I was breaking any rules. It kind of worked for us. And I fell in love for the first time. And I'd never been in love before. And I was off my food and I wasn't sleeping. And after about 3 weeks, I thought, if I don't do something about this, I'm going to die. But I'd never been very confident with members of the opposite sex, and I didn't quite know what to do. So I plucked up the courage after church, and I said to this young lady, I said, "Do you fancy going for coffee? Let's do coffee after church." It was back in the day. So we started to walk down into Nottingham, which is where I was. Some of you know someone from Nottingham. I worked for 20-odd years with David Shearman, who I know some of you well, no, he was a spiritual father to me. And till about 5.5 years ago when the Lord uprooted us and planted us in Coventry. I will get to the Bible in a moment. But we're walking down into town. I thought, oh my gosh, I need to say something of why we're going for coffee. So I kind of plucked up the courage and I said to Esther, I need to let you know I like you. And she said, "What do you mean by that?" So I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to really put it out there. And I said, oh no. I said, "Well, you know, like maybe we could be more than friends." And she said, "Oh." And for a split second, I didn't know how it was going. And then she said, I like you too. And I said, what do you mean by that? And so there we are, three kids and so on, and the Lord's planted us in Coventry. Now what happens, somebody like me, you know, invited to come here, what happens is just very gently, my spirit, it's just my radar is up. And so over Christmas, I'm aware there's a few things I'm doing in January. I'm just going, Lord, is there anything you want to say? And I had a really strange experience because there's a phrase that I'd come across just before Christmas in the Christmas story where it says of Mary, it says, she gave birth. And I'm conscious that I'm coming here and I cannot get this phrase out of my spirit. And I'm wrestling with it because you don't bring a Christmas message in the new year, right? We love homing in through Advent. We come into Christmas and yet you come into the new year and it's, see, I'm doing a new thing. And, you know, it's great. I love the sense of the fresh start that the calendar can sometimes just propel us to make some fresh, good decisions. And I've got this phrase, she gave birth. You see, I'd preached a message about the paradoxes of Christmas, that how inside the Christmas story you see the prophetic and the circumstantial coming together. It's how God works. Prophesies something and then it comes to pass, but it comes to pass circumstantially. Things happen. How naturally and spiritually some things came together. And this was it, because the Bible says that when Mary asks the angel, how will this be? The angel says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Supernatural, utterly, utterly supernatural, the conception of the Word becoming flesh. And yet it says in Luke 2, and if you've got a Bible, let's turn to Luke 2. It says, she gave birth. I was looking at how the humble and the glorious coexist, the absolute poverty of the manger situation, and yet the hosts of angels that come in the same place, and how that's true in our lives, the humility of us and our brokenness, and yet God wants to put his glory in and through us. I was looking at the human and the divine, but it was a Christmas Eve message, and yet I had this sense of the Lord wanting to speak here, she gave birth. And this is what the Bible says. You'll know these words incredibly well. Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And while they were there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks of night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be terrified. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. You will find, this will be a sign to you, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And I had this phrase in my spirit, and I'm saying, Lord, what are you saying? And I had this real sense that you guys are pregnant. That you're carrying something. Now, this is a ministry that understands what it is to have something conceived of the Holy Spirit. I've heard enough of the story to understand the way this ministry began. It was conceived of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't someone who was trying to find something to do with his life. It was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And we come to understand the way God works is he conceives something in us There's a holy moment, a burden, a call, a passion, something, a moment in God that is supernatural. And then he doesn't leave us alone. We walk with him, but we have to push it out. We have to give birth to it. That makes sense. And I had this sense that you guys are carrying something. And possibly you're larger with child than you've ever been. The demands on the ministry, what is ahead of you in 2018, some of you are expectant in your spirit. Some of you, you're aware that there are things you want to deliver. But there's also, I had this sense as I'm trying to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying, that there are some that if you be honest, you come back 2018 and you see what's ahead and you're aware of what you're carrying. You're aware of the rapid expansion of what is going on. And there's a little bit of you, you're going, I love the vision. I love the people, but I don't know how we're going to push this out. I don't know if I can carry this. I don't know how we're going to deliver this. I don't know if I can keep pushing. Now, that might not be how all of you are feeling, but I felt the Lord wanted to speak into this and to say a few things. And I've got five thoughts to say in the context of this, because I believe the Lord wants to encourage you today. And the first thing that I believe he wants to say is what is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. What is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. That where you're at and the expansion of this ministry at this time, it's not leadership gone mad. It's not that Andy and Carl have got together and eaten too much cheese. It is conceived of the Holy Spirit. That the ministries, the things you're on with, the opportunities, the expansion, the multiplication of the ministry, it is something conceived of God. See, of Mary, the Holy Spirit came upon her, the power of the Most High overshadowed. It's an unspeakable thing. We can't begin to get our heads around it. And what happens is, you know, I've heard Andy share his story of, you know, getting away to the Lake District and the Lord speaking to him and Isaiah 60. And very, very powerful. You know, if I can share with you what happened to me, been aware of the message for 20 years, as I say. Last January, somebody sent an email. I don't know who's responsible in this room. But an email that wouldn't normally get through my spam filter got through my spam filter. I don't know you guys. I'm not on your list. I don't know where you got my email from. Now, you got to understand, a church like ours, we get requests every week to partner. There's so much amazing stuff going on in the earth. But you just can't partner with everything. You can't actually read every newsletter or watch every video. But I got this email land in my box, and for some reason, it must have come at a time where, you know, sometimes they'll drop in and it's just the wrong moment. And I'm sorry, I can't deal with this right now. But I actually clicked on the link and I watched the highlights from the Manchester 2016 Hire Tour. And I can only say the Holy Spirit flooded my office in quite a unique way. In such a way that I knew I needed to get to a meeting in Birmingham. And I looked at the date and it wasn't convenient. And I had things in the diary, but I spoke to Esther. We lead the church together. I said, I need to have a look at this. And I need to go. Either you need to go or I need to go. So I cleared my diary and I came across to this meeting. And unbeknownst to me, because Andy and I ended up, we're just in the queue for food together. We'd never met each other before. And he's like, oh, hi, I'm Andy. Where are you from? I'm from Coventry. And these guys had been praying about Coventry that day because they didn't really have the right link in Coventry. And if I can be a John the Baptist to you, because when Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, the baby leapt in her womb. There's a witness. And I had a witness that what is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. But I'm not just talking about the higher tour. I felt the Lord want to say to you today that what is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. What you're carrying, the ministries, the multiplication, this is not leadership gone mad. This is conceived of the Holy Spirit. This is God's ordained time. And what it says is when the angel spoke to Mary, it then says, then the angel left her. Well, thanks. You know, shows up, changed my world, utterly transformed my life, and then clears off. Now, the Lord doesn't leave us, but we can have these spiritual high-top moments, these things that are birthed in a place of prayer, in a place of intimacy. Things are always conceived in intimacy, naturally and spiritually. That's the case. That's why, so long as you keep pursuing the presence of God, so long as you keep prayer a priority, so long as you keep worshiping like you do, you're going to keep conceiving. Because in a place of intimacy, things are conceived. And those holy moments where we know God has spoken to us, where it might not make sense to us, we might not have chosen it, but we know God is propelling us to move to the next stage, to do something in your heart that you can't shake off, and it's conceived, but then it's like, you don't stay in that holy moment, right? You don't. We have to learn to walk with God through it. He doesn't depart from us. But there's that sense something can be conceived in a holy moment. And then the angel leaves us. That encounter moment has passed and we're left carrying something. And some of you, you're left carrying something. You come back to a new year and the job list is there. And, you know, I know what it can be like even to be in a staff prayer meeting and you're aware of the stuff that the day demands ahead of you. But I want to come and say to you, what is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. What you're carrying is of the Holy Spirit. The second thing I want to say is that the Lord has chosen the timing. See, for Mary, before the foundations of the earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knew exactly what was going to happen. 700 years earlier, Isaiah the prophet, the virgin will be with child, for unto us a child is born. Micah at the same era, you, O Bethlehem Ephrata, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one whose days are from eternity. Wow. And God watches over his word. 400 years from Malachi to the Gospels. No word, but God is watching over his word. And it comes to pass in the Lord's timing. But let's not forget, for Mary, this was the wrong time. I mean, Bethlehem, I mean, give me a break. Oh, send me away from home. You know, who books to be away from home when they're about to have a baby? You know, it's my due date. Let's go overseas. You know, I don't think you're going to do it. You're going to stick around, be close to home. Not only that, things look like they weren't ready. You know, we've gone baby mad at CLM. We're having babies every week. Babies are being born. We're in that season. It's part of the outflow of a healthy young adults ministry. I've got two members of staff on maternity leave. It's very inconvenient. Babies are being born. But, you know, the families, they're preparing the nursery, buying, getting everything ready. Who knows that it didn't look like it was all ready. Probably was not how Mary had envisaged it as a little girl, thinking one day I'll be a mom and this is how I want to prepare the home. And I want to say that you might even feel like, Lord, I'm not sure everything's in place. You know, I don't know how you guys are feeling this year. You know, is every vacancy filled? Are the structures all there? Is the finance all set up? Because the answer might be no, but I want to say this is the Lord's timing. This is the Lord's timing. You know, sometimes the Lord can put things on us. When we first moved to Coventry 5.5 years ago, we had a job on our hands with the church, and the Lord spoke to me literally about 3 or 4 months in. I could not shake off this prompting of the Holy Spirit to potentially gather some churches together to pray. And I cannot tell you how much I didn't want to do that right now. I love the idea of kingdom partnership and I'm passionate about prayer, but not now. We just moved. As we're like new kids on the block. We're up to our necks with issues in our local church. The idea of a citywide event, fantastic. A, if someone else had run it, or B, if it was in 5 years' time, not now, Lord. couldn't shake this thing off. I ended up, just to get the Holy Spirit off my back, I sent the lamest email I could possibly have composed, which went to 3 well-connected church leaders in the city that I'd met, just to say, I just want to check, this would be a really kind of bad time to gather to pray, you know, as churches. Don't you agree? Kind of, you know, it was like that. And they all came back individually and said, no, we must do it, and we must do it now. And so I end up in this meeting of church leaders, and the most senior Anglican other than the bishop is in there. After we've opened in prayer, he stands up and says, now, Martin, you need to lead us. And we all agree, don't we? You know, and I'm like, I mean, they couldn't really say anything else. I would have refused, only I knew the Holy Spirit was stitching me up. I was 15 years the youngest person in the room. I was a new kid on the block in Coventry by at least 3 years. And we ended up putting together, we just tried to put this prayer meeting on. And our publicity wasn't that great. Our marketing wasn't that great. But we start to get wind like the 2 weeks before, like people saying, oh, I've met another mum in the playground. She says their church is coming. And I was going, goodness sake, so how are we going to do this? And we had about 900 people show up across 80 different churches. I remember standing up with Esther at the front, and literally, I thought, if we can release a shout of praise right at the end, I mean, it's an ecumenical thing. I don't know how this is going to go. There's like a gathering song, and the place erupted. And I stood up, I said to Esther, I think the Lord's just called a meeting. It wasn't great timing for me, but it was the Lord's timing. And what you're on with, it's the Lord's timing. The third thing I want to say is you will give birth. You will give birth. What I mean is the things that are ahead of you, they will come to pass. And when it says she gave birth, you've got to understand 2 things. That meant she was okay and he was okay. The things that you're carrying, you're going to be okay. If you look at it naturally, I'm not trying to be in any way, you know, rude or inappropriate, but if you see the size of a lady at full term, if you didn't know it was possible, can you imagine Adam when Eve is pregnant? She's going to get to a size where he's going, this ain't going to work. This is not possible. This can't work. Sweetheart, you've got too big. This should have, I don't know what's happening, but this should have come out earlier when you were here. Went and visited one of the little babies that's just been born recently in our church, and I held little Max in, well, he was a big baby actually, he was nearly 9 pounds, and I held Max in, and I looked at Sarah, the mum, and I'm looking at Max, and literally like 3 days earlier, he'd been inside there, and I'm going, this is unbelievable. I know I've seen it before, but I still can't believe it. I can't believe this is possible. How does it happen? And it says she gave birth. The angel didn't give birth. It's conceived of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't come along and go, Mary, oh, Jesus is here. She pushed him out. And I want to come and encourage you, because you're going to push some things over the line this year. You are going to deliver. And I'm not trying to use corporate language, but birthing, you're going to deliver some things. And I want to say to you, you'll do it. And if there's anyone in the room today who's feeling a little bit overwhelmed at the start of the year, I want to say, it's possible. And you can look at the size of the bump, if I can use that analogy. You can look at the job list. You can look at the expanding ministry. You can look at what's ahead. And I know you'll be feeling that at different levels across the room. And you might look at it and think, I don't know if we can do this. I want to tell you, you're going to do it. Because actually what the Lord conceives, he enables to bring to pass. It's not without his help, and yet she pushed him out. And as you give yourselves to this, I've pushed a few things out, if I can use that analogy. Given birth to a few things, the Holy Spirit's conceived a few things in me over the years. And if I can say 4 quick things here, as best as you can, pace the push. Those of you that have either had children or watched your wives go through, the contraction comes, the push comes. And if you're wise, you've got to try and take a breath. And where you can, individually, the rhythms of life. Because I've not come here to say, push harder. I say, you can do it. And where you can, we'll have different levels of capacity in the room, different rhythms needed, different challenges outside of the role you're carrying here in life as husbands, wives, parents, different seasons of life. I get all of that. But as far as you can, pace the push. As leaders, as far as you can, pace the push. It'll be an intense year. But where you can, where you can take a breath. Secondly, trust the process. This is why the priority of prayer is what I love about this ministry. Because ultimately, it's a work of God. Just trust the process. What looks too big will come to pass. Because it's the Lord's timing and he conceived it. Thirdly, mop the brow. What am I qualified to say about childbirth? You know, every woman in the room that's ever given birth, you know, I dare not pretend I know anything about it. But I have been there on three occasions and I did my best to be an encouragement. And where we can, we see people in seasons of pressure. Let's be an encouragement. Let's spirit of encouragement. Rest in this team. We see people under pressure. Just lift their arms up in prayer. Encourage them. Understand, because we're going to need each other through this year. And last, remember the baby. Remember the baby. It says of Jesus, he endured the cross for the joy set before him. There's some things on the other side, which is why it's worth it. And so you will give birth. What is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has chosen the timing. You will give birth. Fourthly, a Savior will be brought forth. There's great verses that says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. See, once and for all, the Word became flesh. And yet, here's the miracle. The Savior is still being born. If you understand, hear me right. He died once and for all. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And yet, through a ministry like this, into a broken world, into hearts that don't yet know him, into families, into situations, a Savior is being born again, even in 2018, like he came and impacted our family and our world. And I believe thousands of lives will be impacted through this ministry this year. And the last thing we'll say, the glory of the Lord will shine around. You'll hear stories this year. Stories of the glory of God. You know, she gave birth and then a whole angelic host rocks up. You know, an angel comes and speaks to the shepherds and then a whole host. I've just got to imagine, you know, for 9 months, the word, they haven't heard the word in heaven. I just imagine the whole host of angels saying to the Father, let us go to, please, can we go? Can we go? Let us go. And the Father, oh, go on then. And they all rock up. Yes. And the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, shone around. You know, isn't it awesome when the glory of the Lord shines around? Your hard work will bring forth the glory of God. You know, as I finished in Coventry, we've got 10 partner projects in our city. The churches are working together in a special way. And so all of our compassion ministries are partner ministries across the churches. We've got about 50 churches that are linked up working together. So we've got a number of projects and expanding. And hey, I get it. It's hard work. It's hard work working together. It's hard work working in unity, relationally. It's organizationally, administratively, and there's rotas, and there's safeguarding, and there's forms, and there's process, and there's interaction with the council, and there's fundraising, and there's all the stuff that goes behind the, you know, we run a ministry model of the body and the breath, you know, the Ezekiel 37, you know, our conviction is that without the body, the breath, it's the ruach, it's the wind, it's the Holy Spirit, it's almost unharnessed. The way God works is he embodies something. And yet the body without the breath is a corpse. And so as a church, we give ourselves to the organization, the process, the structure, unashamedly, but we give ourselves to the presence of God because we need the body and we need the breath. And who knows that 90% is the hard work. But you know, last year, one of my favorite Sundays, we're in the middle of worship, and a lady brings down to me and Esther on the front row in the middle of worship, a young lady and what turned out to be her mum that we'd never seen before. And there's a little bit, you know, when you it's not normal, you've not met this person before in the middle of worship. The lady that brought them down, I knew, but like it wasn't one of our leaders. And I'm kind of, I'm trying to process what's happening. And she says, this is Megan. She got healed out of a wheelchair yesterday. So I'm kind of going, oh great. That's awesome. Can you just take a seat over here? And then we broke for communion. And while communion's going on, we kind of go, okay, what happened? And this young lady, Megan, she's 20. And she's been in a wheelchair for 7 months, got a debilitating disease, struggling to get a proper diagnosis on it. Just her body started to fail. And not a Christian. And her mum, kind of nominal Catholic. And they're walking through Coventry. One of our projects, Healing on the Streets, there's some Christians there. And they stop and they pray. And the power of God hits Megan. She gets up out of a wheelchair. She starts jumping up and down. And her mum, Rosie's like going, steady on, steady on. She goes, no, I've been healed. I've been healed. And at the end, they say, like, how can we thank you? And the two ladies that pray with her happen to be from our church on that particular shift in that particular moment. And they said, well, don't thank us. Thank Jesus. And if you want to thank Jesus, why not come to church tomorrow morning? And so they did. And they rocked up. And so they shared their story in front of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord shone around. I don't want to say there's a lot of hard work goes behind that. But when it comes, it's worth everything. It's worth everything.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.